Turn his good seeds and everyone out tonight.
It's been another beautiful Lord's Day. We've had some beautiful weather. We did yesterday. It's such a nice thing this morning coming out and it not being so cold. And I don't mean to gripe. I'm just being thankful that it was nice that it was. It's good to have each and every one of you here. I'm proud you're here. If you're a visitor, you're honored guest. We're glad to have you here, each and every one. Tonight, my text will be coming from Ephesians chapter 4. Turn with me in your Bible if you would. The things I'd like for you to notice in these passages here in chapter 4 and chapter 5 is one thing is very clear. The things that we do, we need to do it in love. Okay? Give some other things, but I want you to watch as we go through this and how he brings out the point how we need to do it. We need to do it in love. Yeah, there's a lot of things we need to do, but we need to make sure that we always have love in it. You can't be without it. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech ye that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. All through this chapter here, it mentions things and it mentions how we should be. Jesus was the perfect example of being. He was termed as being meek and lowly. And we know that He is long-suffering with us. Lord only knows He is with me. Each and every time. He's patient. This is how we need to be with one another. You know? And I know you heard me preach. You've heard me say this probably. You've heard me more than once. I'm sure you have. You know, Jesus told His disciples how that they'll know that you're my disciples is how you love one another. We as Christians need to make sure that that's the mark of us. That's what we're known by, having love in our heart. Yes, it is true. We speak the truth, I believe, from God's Word as well as we know it to be. But I have to say that I've seen it many times that it was done in love, and it's wrong. So we need to make sure in every undertaking we have that we consider this. You know, and it helps us to... In dealing with others, if we look at our own self first, realizing, hey, I'm not perfect. I fall short of God's glory. You know, then that helps me when I'm dealing with other people, okay? If somebody's wronged me, it makes me to understand exactly, and it should make me realize that I need to be merciful because blessed are the merciful because they'll receive mercy. And that's what we need to do. We should be the most loving people bunch of people, there he is, the Lord's church should be. His body should be. They should be the epitome of what we are and who we are and what we're about is love. It has to be. Because see, we know about love more than anybody does. Jesus showing His love toward us. Being willing to go through what He went through for us to forgive us of our sins, that our sins be washed away, that we be whiter than snow, that we be forgiven, that we have that burden, that huge burden that we couldn't carry anyway, removed from our back. It says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know, I look around and I see all around. It's a staggering what the statistics are of beliefs in Christ, Christian religion, if you would. And it's a shame to me that you see it's so fragmented off and so not in unity. But the Lord wanted us to be in unity. We study from the same Bible. We read from the same Bible. We teach from the same Bible. You know, almost universally, the King James Version of the Bible, you know? Why is it so that we don't agree on things as much as we should? You know? It seems like sometimes that we're not in the unity of spirit. We're in the opposite of that. That we're in the division of it, if you would. That we focus on things we don't agree upon. When it should be that we focus on the things that we do agree upon. And there's so much that you don't have a choice. If you read God's Word, you get the same message over and over and over and over and over. Why is it then when there's not agreement, unity in that? There has to be. It has to be. It says here, also in the bond of peace. Well, you know what? Peace is a great thing. And we should be peaceable. We're even told we need to live peaceable with all men. We need to. That's exactly. That should be how we are too. But at the sacrifice of truth or the compromise of truth, absolutely not. We have to stand firm on what we know that the Bible says. Be backed up by the Scriptures, book, chapter, and verse for what we stand upon. But we're not supposed to be contentious about it. We shouldn't want to fuss about it. We shouldn't want to argue about it. We shouldn't have strife within us. It cannot be. It's not pleasing to God. We're part of His body. You ever think about how He compares His church to a body? Do you think what kind of chaos that you would be in your body if your body got along like the church does sometimes? That sounds pretty rough, don't it? But you know exactly what I mean, don't you? Wow. We'd starve to death probably, wouldn't we? Because our hands would be mad at our mouth and wouldn't even feed it, right? Our feet wouldn't even get up. I wouldn't even be able to get up, walk up here, would they? My feet would be mad at my mouth because it wouldn't eat nothing, you know? I'm telling you the truth, and I'm making a point. I want you to listen to these Scriptures right here, and the Lord gives a description of it here. It says, there's one body, there's one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. There's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism. There's one God and Father of all who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. There's one. Why does people say that there's many? There's just one. It's what the Scripture says here. Of how many different things here? Who thinks they have the right to say that there's more? This is God-breathed. This is inspired Word of God saying there's one of these. How can people believe that there's more? It says it right here. We should be totally in agreement with it. I'll get ahead of myself a little bit, but it talks about how the body's even jointly fit together. Perfectly made. Just like it should be. You ever hurt your thumb? You ever had it where you couldn't use your thumb good? It's sore. Maybe banged it with a hammer. You cut it good. You ever try doing something just in four fingers? Pick up something. Try to pick up something with it. Just try it sometime and see how good it works. It don't work very good. And you think that old thumb ain't worth nothing for anything but picking up a ride. But the fact of the matter is without that thumb, these fingers right here are just about useless as far as picking something up. And that's the same thing with us. Each and every one of us has our part within this body of Christ to accomplish the things that God wants us to accomplish. He's given us certain talents, certain gifts, if you would, certain abilities. And everyone is just as important as anyone is. Everyone doing their own function and accomplishing what God wants us to accomplish. And the problem is that we're not accomplishing that. We're not working together for the edifying of the body and the edifying of the church, the uplifting, the encouragement, the growth of the church. And we need to be. That needs to be the number one thing that we're about. That needs to be the number one priority in our life. To be accomplishing what God wants us to do. You know, if you've ever been part of a team, you understand that you all got to work together to accomplish that one common goal, right? And without one of those main important ingredients there, the whole thing's lost. You know, if you've ever been on a football team, and I'm not promoting this, by the way, but the fact of the matter is, without that quarterback, you'd be in bad shape. But without them big old linemen up there in front of him to keep him from getting sacked in the backfield, or without that guy being able to run it or catch it, it's impossible. You know? Why do we think it's different in the body of Christ? Why are we letting the devil win? And that's what we're doing. We're allowing the devil to take souls to hell every day. You know? Because we don't show love. Because we are not united in the cause. Because it is not our number one priority. We allow other things to get in our way. We allow other things to be more important than doing the work of the Lord. And there is nothing more important than the work of the Lord. It has to be number one in our life. The Lord don't want to take second or third choice. He has to be number one. It's impossible for us to accomplish what He wants us to accomplish without it being that way. And we must work together. It requires us sometimes to just bite our tongue and keep our mouth shut sometimes. You know, and that's hard. I know as well as anybody, because I probably talk as much as any of you do. See? And I can say that, okay? But if we can't encourage, if we can't uplift, if we're not for the edifying, if we're not for the building up of the body of Christ, we're better off we just keep our mouth shut. Yeah, there are certain times when we need to say what we need to say. But we don't need to keep on saying it after everybody understands. See, that's the thing. And if we can't say anything good, we need to be quiet. That ain't an easy thing. I know it's not. But that's what is pleasing to God. We can do more damage with our tongue than 50 people can build up and accomplish and get to happen. We can run more people off from church than you could ever get to come back by us letting our tongue loose and saying things that we ought not. Yes, it has its purpose. But yes, it's for a positive, a good, uplifting, encouraging. It's for the edifying the body. And that's not to say that sometimes we don't have to say things that need to be said. Sometimes we do. That's part of it too. Rebuking and stuff. But we're according to the Scriptures, we must do. That's so people don't lose their souls and go to hell. But if we do it in love, and they know that we care about them, that's totally different than our mouth just going loose and telling somebody something and causing them to fall away from Christ. Let's get into this. He gives a lot of gifts to these people here specifically. And he gives us too. I like to think about it as God gives us gifts or talents. And these specific ones he lists here, he said, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that ascended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things, that he might fulfill, in other words, so that it would be accomplished. You know, when John the Baptist baptized Jesus, he said, just suffer it so, let it be fulfilled. It had to happen. Jesus didn't need to be baptized because he didn't need his sins washed away like me and you do, but he was that perfect example set for us, right? He was showing us how you need to do, what you need to do, right? It's different. There ain't none of us perfect, so we need our sins washed away, don't we? We need to be washed in the blood, and we need to be washed in the water too. Just plainly, bluntly put. He said, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, and for the perfecting of the saints, and for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He gave you these things, and here's the reason why he gave them to you. See? You know, it's strange that we have a lot of different gifts that he's given us too, but we're using them for the wrong reason, you know? We need to be using them for the edifying the body of Christ and for the ministry, for the growth, for bringing people into the kingdom. It says, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the statutes of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by sleight of men, by cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You know what? Many people are deceived today, and you know why? It's because they allow themselves to be deceived. If I know what the truth says, you can't tell me a lie and make me believe it. See? And I'm not being haughty in saying, oh, I can't be deceived. I'm just saying, if you know what the truth, or if I know the truth, you can't tell me a lie and make me believe it. Because I know different, see? And the problem is the devil likes to mix in a little bit of lie and a little bit of truth. And if you really don't really know exactly what the truth is, then you have a tendency to believe that truth, that lie, and be deceived. But you know what? If we studied our Word, if we, like in Timothy said, if we studied to show, that's 2 and 15, studied to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, you know what? It'd be real hard for you to lead somebody like that astray, wouldn't it? Or deceive. And these people here have a motive too. It says that by sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait. They're just like that old roaring lion. You know how he crouches down and he gets ready just to pounce upon something, waiting there for his prey to just get it the right way? Well, that's the way the devil is and his workers. They're that same way. They're lying in wait. His workers and the devil are just like that. They're always there. They're just waiting for the opportunity for a Christian, one of us, to stumble or fall, and then be able to throw something out in front of us and cause that to happen. But we need to be sober and diligent and watching and be aware of what's going on and steadfast and unmovable and focused on what God wants us to do. It says, but speaking the truth, here it is again, in love. We always speak the truth, but we do it in love. Right? You ever know that you got to say something to somebody? You got to take your time and figure out what you need to say and how you need to say it. Right? Well, that's the way we need to be all the time. We don't need to just blurt stuff out. We know we need to say something to somebody. We need to make sure that we do it in the right heart, the right mind. We need to seek God. We need to pray that He'll give us wisdom and understanding and help us just say the right things. That we'll have our heart in the right place when we do too. And that we do it in love. You know, there's a lot of difference in you just putting somebody down and being holier than thou and looking down on somebody than they are coming over and giving somebody a big hug and saying, you know, I love you a lot. I care about your soul. But there's this thing I got to tell you anyway, because I don't want to see you in hell one day. There's a lot of difference in that. And me being up here holier than thou and me looking down my nose at you saying, you need to do this. That's not in love at all, is it? None whatsoever. That's going to be received even sometimes to make somebody mad. I'd rather you be mad than to go to hell. I'd rather you never spoke to me again as long as it helped you and you went to heaven. You know, but I got to make sure that I ain't done wrong even in doing right. And you know what I'm talking about. I do believe you do. If you don't, it wouldn't be real hard to figure it out. Speaking that truth. We may grow up in Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Wow, we sing we've got one God, one Lord, one faith, one Father all, which is above all and through you all and in you all. Now then, we got a head, ain't we? There's just one head too, right? We was talking about this today, and we was talking about it in dinner after we ate, after the sermon, and We don't need this like this either, that this may be the head, but on the neck, I can turn it whichever way I want to. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes it's that way. This head right here is Christ. He's the final say. We go by what He said. He's the head of this body. That changes everything, don't it? That makes me realize that I have to do everything He said for me to do to be pleasing to Him. You know, your body has to do what your head said to do, don't it? Yeah, well, it does in this realm too. And that's Christ. And you can't go wrong there anyway, right? The fact of the matter is Christ is always right. He knows what needs to be, has to be, should be, will be, needs to be. We just need to be followers and diligent servants of His. That's what we need to be. We need to be each and every one doing our part in this body to accomplish what this body needs to do. Here it is, my scripture I was talking about a while ago. From the whole body, fitly joined together and compact, by which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. There it is again. And two little words He done threw in there again. But it's all fitting together. And it's all working together to accomplish everything, every joint supplying and continuing. That ETH is continually doing that according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. For why? That it maketh the increase of the body unto edifying of itself in love. Wow. You look out here and you see that certain car out there and you say, man, that thing's just put together and everything's just, wow, it just blows me away. I tell you what, if the body of Christ works like they should, that car wouldn't be nothing in comparison to the body of Christ. With every part fitting jointly together, it's made one for another like a hand fits a glove, working together, just diligent. Man, you ever seen a hill of ants working? Wow. Man, every one of them's accomplishing the thing they need to be accomplishing. This one's doing this, this one's doing that. You don't see nothing laying around kicked back over, hey, letting one do two or three's job, do you? No. You don't see just one or two working and then the rest of them just kick back, do you? Statistics will show you that in a congregation that a small percentage of the people do all the work. Sad, ain't it?
That's the reason I'm telling you, they work for all of us. We're part of this body. We don't need to be a burden to this body. We need to be accomplishing the things that God wants us to accomplish in this body. We're necessary. We're needful. We're important. In other words, this body can't work without some of its members. It can make it without some, but it ain't easy. But there are certain ones you can't make it without at all, right? You may be that very one. See? You might be like the heart, right? Without that old heart, you're gone, right? Without them lungs, no oxygen, you're dead. You know, you may be the very vital part to it. And we never know. That's the thing about it. God chooses things that are nothing to confound the wisdom of the wise. And, you know, He takes a vessel that's not unto honor and makes it unto one that is. Who knows? You know, so every one of us is important. We need to be accomplishing the thing has. We need to be using the gifts, the talents that God gives us. You know, one of these days, God's going to come back and He's going to want usury for them talents. You know what? He's going to want to know if we're being fruitful trees unto Him, right? And that decides where we're hewn down or cast into the fire or we get to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It's going to decide. I'm telling you these things because I care about you so. I'm telling you these things because I care about this body, Christ's body, that He died for, that He shed His blood for, that He suffered upon that cruel cross and went through for. We need to seriously consider these things. We need to make changes in our life. If they're not like they should be, we need to truly make God number one in our life. His kingdom, Christ. We need to make the church, His body, that in our lives.
Amen.
We need to live it in our lives. Well, there's never a greater time than right now. There's an opportunity there for the Christians, God's children, to let their light shine like it's never been before. The time is short. Who knows? Life is but a vapor. Buried for a short time, then passeth away. You know? Just like that, in the blink of an eye. We don't know it. We have promise of tomorrow. We need to be accomplishing things today. Now's the time. Today is the day. Right? This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanities of their mind. Emptiness, vanity of their mind. How many of us sometimes just go around, we walk around, we ain't got nothing in our mind, Lord. We ain't really accomplishing nothing. Lord, I'd hope it wouldn't be very much, but I know for a fact it's like that sometimes me. You say, wow, that's pretty bad. You're up there preaching, huh? No, it's just I'm human. I'm just like everybody else. See? I ain't no super person. I just got this different task to do than the one you've got. It's up here tonight. The fact of the matter is we need to make sure it ain't like that with us as Christians. We need to have something good, positive, right, godly going on in our mind all the time. If not, we're walking just like these Gentiles in the emptiness of our mind. Listen to the rest of it. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. They don't want it. But they're separated from God. They're being alienated from God. That's what it says right here. Through the ignorance that is in them. Their hearts is blind. They don't want to hear. Their ears are closed. Sadly so, but there's Christians like this too. That their mind's closed. They're not open, receptive. You know what? I tell you what, it'd be the perfect opportunity for a preacher, you know? If everybody that come in the house tonight came here with a mind to get something from God's Word, they already had their mind prepared. I'm going to come here and I'm going to get a message from God's Word here tonight. And it's going to help me. It's going to change me. It's going to make me better. It's going to make me more like the Lord wants me to be. It's going to help me to grow in the Lord. That would be some fertile soil right there to sow some seeds in. And I heard Brother Emerson talking about putting some seeds in the ground today. Well, I'm sowing some here tonight too. But that would be the perfect thing, and that's how we need to be. You know, there's been times that I wasn't preaching. I was sitting on the bench. You know what? I made my mind up then that I'm going to be the best one that I can be sitting here on this bench. I'm going to get everything I can get out of it. If I'm going to be the song leader, I want to do the best that I can do at that. Whatever the Lord. If I'm going to scrub the toilets, I'm going to do it the best that I can do it because I'm doing it as unto the Lord.
And it matters. Yes, you may think that it don't, but what did Jesus say? He said, if you've been faithful over small matters, and I'm paraphrasing real badly here, that I'll make you over many things, great things, right? Those who are faithful about the smallest little inklings of their life and details of their life, those are the ones who can be trusted to be given the big things in life. And I'm here to tell you tonight, if you're a Christian, you've been given the biggest thing in life already. To spread that message of Jesus Christ. To bring other people to the Lord. To let your light shine that people may see your good works and glorify God which is in heaven. You've been given it. It's there. And you're going to give account one day for it. We need to be good, diligent servants to the Lord. Whatever we do, do with all our might. We bring shame upon the Lord when we don't do things to the best of our ability. And we bring glory and honor to Him when we do. We're vessels that He can use then. You know, like that empty glass, and He fills it up with what He wants it to be filled up with. Then it accomplishes what He intends. And that's this body that I'm talking about. It'll do that too. This whole body working together. We need to get a plan. We need to sit down and watch some angels for a while and figure out how they work and see if we can't get in that same groove and get busy for the Lord in that same way, right? It tells us over there we need to go to the ants and, you know, and learn from them. We can learn some diligence and some getting out there and getting at it from them, couldn't we, for sure? It says, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all kinds of uncleanness with greediness, that ye have learned, have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard Him, ye have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put off this old man. This former conversation that you had. You can't be like you was no more. You're a new creation in the Lord. See, you can't be like you were before. You know, I hear people say, well, that's just the way that I am. Well, you need to change it then. This is how you need to be then, right here. That's what Paul's saying right here, ain't it? You've got to change it. You can't be like that no more. You have to be like this now. You have to be renewed in your mind. How you get renewed in your mind? Word of God. That's how you renew your mind. You read God's Word. You study it. You meditate on it. You listen to it being preached and taught. And you soak it in. You apply it to your lives. You conform yourself, this fleshly body, to it. And your mind is renewed. You're a new creation in Him. You won't think about things the same way you used to anymore. You'll be that new man that He's talking about here. You'll truly become what the Lord wants you to become. And it was after God is created in righteousness. That means doing the things that God said, the right things. Not some of the times, but all the times, every time you can. And in true holiness. You know what? We as Christians, we can't think that we can just blend in with the world and we can just keep on doing that away and being this way. When we're a Christian, we can't live by that standard anymore. We have to put off that former conversation, that old man. And we'd be conformed to that perfect example of Jesus. He showed us how to live. He showed us how to be perfect, didn't He? Tempted in all ways, just like we are, except He sinned not. You need to set that as your goal. Here's who I want to be like right here. That's my role model. That's that perfect example that I want to be like. It says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. If you've been telling lies, you need to quit lying. It says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Didn't say it was wrong to be angry, did it? Said, be angry and sin not. Sometimes anger, that's what gets you all stirred up to do what you need to do anyhow. Sometimes you just need to clean house to what you need to do. You know, like spring cleaning kind of. You need to weed out the things that don't need to be there no more. That's what it takes, yeah. That means we must have ourself in control. Part of the fruits of the Spirit. We need to have ourself in control even though we're angry. You know, that's exactly what the devil likes, and he uses it and he'll beat you over the head with it. If he can get you angry where you're not in control no more, he can get your tongue loose. He can get you to say things you ought not to say. And he can get you to do things. You've given place to the devil is what you did. Ain't nothing matter with getting angry. There's a matter with saying something wrong when you are angry. It's a matter with doing things wrong that you shouldn't do and not have yourself under control when you're angry. See? That's why the devil likes anything that gets you where you're not in control. That's why he likes drugs. That's why he likes alcohol. That's why he likes all these other things. They can get you out of control. He can get you to do something. If it's anger, he'll use anger. If he can get you to be mad and you do something, he'll use it. Don't worry. He's after your soul. He wants you to go to hell. He is your enemy. And he will take you down if you allow it. See? But see, that's what he's saying here. If you don't allow that to happen, if you stay in control, you don't give place to the devil then, do you? No. No. You hadn't given no place. You can't. He didn't open the door and say, come on in. But when you get angry and you do sin, you say, come on in. Yeah, you can have your way now. That's exactly what you did. But see, it's up to us in that choosing or not. We can pray God give us the strength so that we don't. And it takes some practice too. That's when we need to exercise ourselves into godliness. Yeah, it might not work the first few times. But you know, if you keep on working toward it, finally it does. It's like you couldn't pick up a big old set of barbells to start with, no, right? But you could pick up some smaller ones. If you keep working with them, then you work your way on up, right? Well, if we're exercising ourselves into godliness, we may stumble and fall a few times. But you know what? Sooner or later, we're going to be able to go, whoa, yeah, I can stand now. I was just crawling a while ago. Now I've learned to stand up here. Now I may be able to get angry, and I ain't sinning. I'm in control. That's where we have to be. It says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may give to him that needeth. If you're a thief, just you quit stealing. You don't steal no more. And not only that, but you work with your hands. And why? Why do you work with your hands? You work with your hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Well, we got this all wrong then. We thought we worked so that we could have all the things we want, didn't we? Look around. We work so that we'll have some when somebody else is in need. We can help them. That's it. That's the truth. That's what it is. What did God say? God said anybody that didn't work, let them not eat, didn't he? Why did he say that, Warner? Well, one of two things is going to happen, right? This person's going to learn to work, or they're going to starve to death. And both, you know, that hunger, that's a pretty good encouraging thing sometimes. Go work, ain't it? So, and God knew that. That's his law. He didn't say, give them a welfare check. He said, oh, you being ugly now. No, I ain't being ugly. He said, if you don't work, let him not eat. Oh, he said, well, where's your love at, brother? I've got it in there, no doubt. We got to go by the principles of God, though. We need to give people hands up, not hands out. We need to teach somebody how to fish instead of just giving them fish. You know, that's what we need to do. We need to figure out ways to help people. Use our mind. We use our brain with everything else. I don't know why we think when it comes to the Lord, we just turn our brain off. You know, we do. Sometimes some of the things we do and some of the things and ways we work just totally illogical. Don't make a bit of sense. And yeah, I totally understand that our logic can be enmity with God. But the fact of the matter is, what did he give it to us for then? Why did God give us logic if he didn't want us to use it for him? It's worthless then. I don't even need it if I can't use it for the Lord. We need to use it, though. We need to use some common sense. We do things that work, man. So much red tape, and it's just silly. Way beyond when just a little bit of common sense, you know, things could be so different and so better and work even, as a matter of fact. I see great lengths to things that don't even accomplish anything, not just at work, but even in the body of Christ, trying to accomplish the things of God. We need to use everything that God's given us. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use of the edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. There you go. No corrupt communication. Why? The only kind that needs to come out is that that works good to the edifying, that you may minister grace unto the hearers. So if we had that filth coming out of our mouth before, can't come out no more. Now then, good things for edifying, for growth, for good, right, godly, holy, pure things. That's what needs to be. You know the reason is too, don't you? Because what's in your heart is what comes out your mouth. See? What you have in here is what comes out of here. That's the reason we as Christians have to have good and right and godly things going on in here. So that's what comes out here. And like I said, if you can't help and you can't say nothing good, and it ain't for the edifying of the church, you need to keep your mouth shut. And you say, that's really awful. That's really bad. But it's the truth. In love, in the bond of peace. Ain't that what verse 3 said? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And he said, do it in love. That's where it needs to be. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. It sounds like this is tied together in context, then, don't it? Grieving the Spirit. You know, I've heard people say, well, what is grieving the Spirit? Well, in context right here, it's talking about corrupt communication proceeding out of your mouth, and if it's not for the good and the edifying, then may minister grace unto the hearing. And then it says, grieve not the Spirit. Whew. That's a pretty bad name. I hate to know that I grieve the Spirit of the Lord, wouldn't you? We need to make sure that we don't then, right? It says, let all bitter and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And then it tells you how you need to be, don't it? It says, and ye be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Don't that just make it all different right there? Wow, you know, our society, they'll tell you there's something wrong with you if you're all tender-hearted and everything. If you're wearing your heart out there where everybody can see it, you're afraid to show your feelings and all. What about this? Real men don't cry, huh? You know? Well, the Lord, in His Word, is telling you you need to be loving one to another. You need to be tender-hearted. You need to be kind. You need to be forgiving. And what? It's tied together too. Even as God forgave it, God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. It's tied together all the way through. You're forgiving other people to how you forgive other people. Conditionally. You say, oh, that ain't so. Well, you can say whatever you want to. There's quite a few passages in the Bible that teaches that thing. When we do the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others who trespass against us. Right? We're asking the Lord, I want you to forgive me like I forgive others. You know what? If we surely are loving, kind, and caring, and tender-hearted one to another, and we truly do forgive people like we want to be forgiven, you know what? What kind of huge change would you see in the body of Christ? Man, I believe you'd see an explosion of it like you ain't never seen. You'd see people being able to tell and see something in you that the whole world needs. And it'll give you an opportunity. You can show them who your Lord is and tell Him who your Lord is. You'd see such a change. This is my message for tonight. Hope it's been beneficial to you. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, you're not a child of God, and you'd like to become one, we'll assist you in any ways. If you're here and you'd like our prayers for you and with you, come as we sing this song that's been selected.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? That firing of blood, firing of blood. Would you or evil?